It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 21st day of March 2022. This is The Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, or whatever time it is when you listen to the podcast, which is easily accessed, again, at headon.live. Hi, I'm Robin. It is More and Monday. Oh, God. Strap in. Get the hockey puck and the duct tape ready. It may get a little rough. But we've got a confirmation process for a Democrat-appointed Supreme Court Justice, so you know that the circus is in town, and by the circus, I mean the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals. Yep, Sparky, that's right. Not you, Sparky. But anyway, if you decide to check in on the chat room, and I highly encourage you to, you will be greeted by early arrivers. And let me get over there so I can properly credit the early arrivers. Early arrivers, Anatole and Squeaky, and of course, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave, and more folks will be along presently, I trust, for all the More and Monday festivities. Okay? That at least is my hope. So every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So consequently, we send out thanks to our 21st, 20th, and 19th day of the month subscribers, because, well, this is a Monday, so we thank the folks whose subscriptions roll in over the weekend. We thank them on Monday. So thank you very kindly to Karen, and thank you to Harold, President and CEO of Sostris, the secret open carried Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thanks so much to Jillian. Thank you. And thanks as well to Armand. Thank you, Armand. Thank you to Ralps. Thank you to our pal Reverbo, the human man. Thanks to Vince. Thank you to Dr. John in New Mexico. Thanks to Darlene in Connecticut, and thank you to Sharon, and thank you to Clayton. Thank you, David, in San Diego. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep independent, liberal, progressive conversation radio broadcasting alive as we approach. We're under 2 years now from the two-decade mark for this program. Something I find amazing and inspiring, and I thank you all for the dedication you have put forward to keeping this all going. So, where to begin? Well, let's see. A couple of different things. We have, of course, Joey's Journal. And thank you, Joey, for your challenges and your journal entries. Moral Monday, not Moran Monday. Jeffrey starts us out by stirring the pot to start the day.
Oh, sorry, Robin, Joey and I could not make it to Maggie's yesterday, but Joey had to take me back to Boston so I could return to Harvard after my spring break. Junior and that kangaroo...
Be nice to Joey.
Went along for the ride as they really enjoy playing in the outback yard, better known as Harvard Yard. So, since you were cooking at Maggie's yesterday, I assume you were using a Harriet Beecher stove, considering Sunday was the same day 170 years ago that Harriet Beecher Stowe had her famous novel published, Uncle Tom's Cabaret, about a white brothel owner. Speaking of broth, what kind of liquid did you use to marinate the meat yesterday?
You know, I understand better now why they let Jeffrey into Harvard. I brined the pork shoulders in my secret brine of 117 secret herbs and spices. No, Daddy, that was not Harriet Beecher Stowe who wrote that novel. That was Harriet Beecher Stowe. Thank you, Junior. That's correct, Junior. It was Harriet Beecher Stowe who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin in, sadly, one of the most racist cities in America, Cincinnati, Ohio. Proud of you, Junior. You're really learning a lot in your junior high days at school. Little giraffe. Yeah, yeah. And to think last week, Dave and the Blind suggested your efforts were only subpar and not up to the standards of the Ivy League. Well, what the fuck, Dave and the Blind? Junior's only a giraffe, and he's only in junior high school. Cut the youngster some slack. And speaking of hollering, Joey notes, I actually worked with a deaf woman a few years ago, and her last name was actually Holler. I kid you not. With that in mind, Jeffrey made a point saying that the people of West Virginia were tone-deaf to the message of reality. Jeffrey reflected on a study taken 50 years ago which pointed out that many young people had hearing problems and could not hear the true facts. Robin, you responded, shame on Jeffrey. No, really, Robin, shame on the nearly 69% of West Virginians who voted for Trump a second time after Trump claimed that he digged coal and did nothing for the people of West Virginia. You know, the same coal that comes from mountaintop removal and blasts tons of particulate matter laden with various poisons and contaminants into the environment, most notably the air, not the waterways, Joey, the air. I cannot help but remember the woman who headed up the Moral Monday March last June 20th, featuring the Reverend Barber, where both you and I marched on Manchin's office. The woman's name was Pam Garrison, and she was dentally challenged. I just wonder how many of these health issues are caused by environmental contaminants in the air and water. Yet somehow nearly 69% of the people of West Virginia can't make the connection of what dirty coal does to their quality of life and how much better off they would be if alternative energy were available to them. We might actually get around to something like that. And just a reminder, since you mentioned dental issues in Western, it was years and years and years ago now when a member of the multimillionaire for-profit media, Diane Sawyer, came to Appalachia and bemoaned the presence of, and I kid you not, Mountain Dew mouth, alleging that mothers put Mountain Dew in their babies' bottles. Oh, God. When in fact, we had, we had accounts of children who drank from their family's water wells whose teeth literally dissolved in their heads from all the coal poisons in the water. But sure, Diane, Mountain Dew mouth, whatevs. Well, Jeffrey is going to collate the conversation.
Yes, Joey makes a great point. Coal is dying, and so are many people in West Virginia because of selfish, self-serving jerks like Manchin, who are beholden to the coal industry and refuse to support the passage of Medicare expansion and the Build Back Better program that would help numerous West Virginians with health-related issues.
Well, Jeffrey... We have expanded Medicaid in West Virginia. We're not like Alabama or South Carolina, Stan. But your point is taken. Oh, look, there she is, Joey Two the Kangaroo, all ready to speak about the Moral Monday March, featuring the Reverend Barber's demand for equality. Joey Two, just for you.
As many of you know, the koala is an arboreal herbivorous marsupial native to Australia. The koala is very much a symbol of our country because we Aussies really do believe in equality. Oh, Joey, they've gotten to you too, honey. For all men and women, and of course, kangaroos and koalas.
Nice job, Joey, too. Jeffrey's back.
Well, as we were discussing Uncle Tom's Cabin earlier, and how ironic the last night Injustice Uncle Clarence Thomas turned up ill and landed in the hospital. So, Clarence, why don't you give us some clearance and take Sammy the Elitist Alito with you and get the hell off the Supreme Court? Gee, Clarence, was it one of the socialist government-run hospitals that the taxpayers pay to run and operate that treated your malady, you hypocritical moron? As a giraffe, I have added more stimulating and scintillating conversation than any opinion that you have ever offered or written.
Attaboy, Jeffrey, give him hell. Joey notes, when I heard that Injustice Thomas was sick, I was without shame, and I hoped on this Monday morning that I would wake up and get a text from Robin that Thomas was dead. And no, I will not fucking apologize. In the words of Martin Luther King, I have a dream. Yes, I have a dream that both Sammy Alito and Uncle Clarence will one day wake up legally and peacefully dead sometime soon. And speaking of MLK, it was on this day in 1965 Martin Luther King Jr. led a group of civil rights demonstrators marching across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, en route to Montgomery for the passage of black voting rights. This happened just a few weeks after the marchers were savagely attacked and beaten by police because of their prior attempts to cross the very same bridge, protesting the lack of voting rights in this country for black people. The marches led to the passage of the Voting Rights Act months later by the Congress and signed into law by LBJ.
Did somebody say LBJ?
Yes, Junior, but a different LBJ is thinking of LeBron James of the Lakers. LeBron James is coming to Cleveland tonight with his Lakers to play the Cavaliers.
And we'll talk more about LeBron tomorrow. This has been Joey's Journal for Moran Monday, the 21st day of March, the first full day of spring 2022, with Giraffrey standing up against the Morans on this Moral Monday, the first day of spring. Yes. And there's a $25 LBJ All the Way challenge on the table, so that would get us down from our current fundraising goal of $750. To just $700, so hopefully somebody will knock that $25 right out of the park. Thanks, Joey, and Giraffrey, and Junior, and little Joey, too. Thank you all. Well, like I said, it's Moran Monday, but I'll just to get us started, I had the loveliest day yesterday, and frankly, I'm still kind of getting my energy back from four very intense days of prepping and cooking and the gala Saturday night, the Beckley Pride Gala was just delightful. It was so wonderful. And then of course yesterday my little campaign meet and greet. So basically, I spent, I brined the pork shoulders with the aforementioned 117 secret herbs and spices. They're so secret, I don't even know what they are. And then Saturday, early, I finished cleaning the acorn, putting it back together, built the fire, and then put the butts on. No, not the butts, the shoulders. Habit. I like big butts, and I cannot lie. And you have to kind of sit there and fritter with it for about an hour till you get the temperature to hold steady. And they went from, I think about 9 in the morning to about 6 o'clock at night. And they were perfect. Oh, the hickory smoke ran. I swear, I think the smoke ring went all the way through to the bone. And so Sunday morning, I got up and gloved up
and pulled the pork and put it in a one of those rubber, big large Rubbermaid bowls, set it aside, and started into the to make the slaw. And we had drama, because I could not for the life of me find the knife that went with the food processor, and having to hand chop two heads of cabbage worth of slaw, well, that way lies madness. But Annette was absolutely driven, obsessed. And finally she said, I looked everywhere. Maybe I did. Get out of the way. And I got out of the way. I'm that smart. And so she started delving in the cabinet. And she said, son of a gun, I did miss it. And she reached in and brought out the knife to the food processor. And you would have thought that she had, for both of us, you would have thought that she had just brought out a couple of gold bars. And there was much rejoicing. So two heads of cabbage, one onion, a bunch of carrots later. And then all the seasoning that goes into it. I am here to tell you, it was quite possibly the best batch of Northwest Alabama hot slaw I've ever made. And people just went wild. They always do. Anybody who's never had it, the first taste, you're like, holy shit, what is this? And once I explained, there's barbecue sauce there, but if you want to do it the way it's done, put the barbecue on the bun, put the slaw on the barbecue, eat the barbecue. And three shoulders worth of barbecue was gone. I mean, not a freaking molecule left in the space of about 2 hours. And I got along the way, I got to talk to the folks who showed up and tell them about my vision for not just this district in Fayette County, but for the county as a whole and for the state. And it was just a wonderful, it was just a wonderful day. And the best part, it was all gray and miserable. But as I was about to cross the New River Gorge Bridge, I told that Australian woman who lives in my phone to please play Mr. Blue Sky by ELO. And it started, and I kid you not, as I crossed the bridge, the clouds parted, the sun came out, and the rest of the day was absolutely flawlessly beautiful. And we had a blast. But I wanted to tell you that the reason for the gala, the Beckley Pride Gala, it was called the Phoenix. And, of course, a phoenix rises from the ashes. And it was called the Phoenix because last November, someone set fire to Beckley Pride's storage building. And they lost everything. And so there was an auction there. And there was a lot of wonderful stuff auctioned off. And they raised a good bit of money to start replacing things that had been lost. And there was a really, really good turnout and delicious food. And I was there with one of my dearest friends. She calls me Mama. And one of the best things was Boss Man Wayne showed up in support. And he'd been busy all day long and came rushing back to Beckley to be on time for the gala.
And I hadn't seen Boss Man Wayne in over 2 years. Nor he I. And I cannot tell you how absolutely joyful it was to see him and to be able to sit there and chat with him. And he was absolutely comfortable. He was in his element talking to people. And the group was, I mean, it was the whole gender nonconforming, non-hetero spectrum. The whole alphabet. Lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transsexuals, transgender, queer questioning, the works. And everyone was just there in goodwill and good camaraderie. And it almost, well, I can't imagine a gathering that could possibly have been more inclusive and more enjoyable than that. And I was made to feel welcome. I got a brief introduction as the first trans woman ever to run for a seat in the West Virginia legislature. A round of applause. My curtsy needs work. But I tried. And had a couple of promises from people who live in the district. Oh, we're voting for you. And that's just the warmest, sweetest feeling. So, it was a nice weekend. I'm still catching up on, sleep. But today was beautiful, too. Oh, potential program note. Wednesday is another one of those I may not be here days. Because, this Wednesday, I have to do the in-person speech therapy thing down at Marshall University in Huntington. And it's really close trying to get back in time to be on air. So it's possible. If you follow me on Twitter or Instagram, Hillbilly Elitist, or Robin Kincaid on Facebook, I will post if I'm going to miss on Wednesday. Billable Rick, your powers to change the weather, you really are starting to hone those trans skills. You parted the skies by playing Mr. Blue Sky? Hell, California could really use your skills with the drought we're having. No, you don't. No, because they're a little bit, well, the fine tuning's not there. You don't want me calling up any rain. It may be one of those 40 days and 40 nights affairs, so, you know. Be careful what you wish for. Oh my God, Brother Deacon, Robin, my curtsy needs work. Brother Deacon Asa, talk to Trump or cinema. You just had to go there, didn't you? You're merciless. By the way, Asa is apparently in a mood. Smoke ring went to the bone as fancy speak for I burnt them butts. It is not. Stop lying. This was wonderful. And I mean, it was moist and tender because, you know, when you take the shoulder with all of that wonderful skin and that layer of fat and you put it skin side and the fat just melts down through the meat, through the whole smoking process. Oh, it was just so silky and moist and wonderful. Burnt them butts. Shame on you. So enough of all that. Like I said, it's More In Monday, so we will have More In material from today's confirmation hearings. And what a Well, there were some inspiring moments. Cory Booker, I thought, was especially good. And idiot of the day just about has to go to Marsha, goodness, Jackson, Blackburn. We'll get to her. She'll keep. I mean, she's pickled anyway, right? And just, Marsha, from one girl to another, I understand hair problems, but you're a senator of the United States, and you've got you've got a six-figure salary. Sweetie, find a hairdresser, because if you're doing that to yourself, well, that's self-abuse. Is that a help me here, because I'm not that good with hair. Is it a fashion thing? Is it a current women's fashion thing to go to a Senate hearing with bedhead? Now, I'm not trying to sexualize it or anything, but she looks like she just rolled out of bed. I mean, is that like a white girl natural? I'm just trying to learn here. Not saying, just saying. God, even my Michael Savage is beginning to sound like Marge Simpson. But it being Morian Monday and all, let's start with the dipshit twins. You know, Clanny Oakley and Marginal Trailer Queen. The renewal came up for the National Bone Marrow Donor Program. Okay. And it was considered in the House of Representatives. Among other things, a woman by the name of Jennifer Leal was part of a virtual fly-in to Congress last month. She wanted Congress to increase its support for the National Bone Marrow Registry. The registry is operated by an outfit called National Marrow Donor Program, Be the Match. And Jennifer Leal, the woman who participated in the virtual fly-in, wanted to share her story as a bone marrow recipient as she marks her third year being cancer-free. Discussing her experience, she said, "Our family was so fortunate, but we know that not everyone has the same chance to find a match. It's time to change that." She, back in 2017, received the terrifying diagnosis that that she had developed acute myeloid leukemia. And she had three potential donor matches, but only two people were healthy enough to do the donation. The numbers for marrow matching are actually pretty scary. Finding a donor match, there's only a 29% chance of finding a match for black people in this country. Asian Pacific Islanders, 47%. 48% for Latinx. Native American, 60%, or Native Alaskan. and the chance of finding a donor match for white folks is 79%. Oh, well. Add that to the critical race theory list. I say that only halfway tongue in cheek, because when it came time for Congress to vote to renew the National Marrow Donor Program, well, there they were, the dipshit twins, Clanny Oakley and Marginal Trailer Queen, who both voted, that's right, against renewing the National Marrow Donor Program. Meanwhile, NMDP, Be the Match, was wanting an additional, when you think about the scale of our budget, an additional paltry pissant, $5 million in funding, so that the program can go nationwide. And some of those numbers can maybe come up. Oh, God, those two. Dumber in the head and the horses than a hog is in the ass. Good Lord. And I'm sure it has something to do with the precious little fetuses, right? Because it kind of has to. That's what I thought. Ralph's sending me an article from today's confirmation hearings for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Is this what bed hair looks like? To me, Ralph's, yeah. Lee in New York says, you don't need to play the video. The image alone is enough. Yeah, this is a thing for Marsha now. I got nothing. And no, Lee, you cannot make me play the video either. Obligatory Star Trek reference. Lee asks, I'm just curious, could you stop the constant rain on Ferenginar? Well, if I wanted to, but I don't want to. So, you could tell early on that this thing is going to be, like I said, a circus. Marsha Blackburn was awful. Josh Hawley was awfuler. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, threw a hissy at the airport in Bozeman, Montana, when he missed his own flight. Apparently, he was so poorly behaved that they had to call the TSA cops on him. Sadly, he was neither tased nor pepper sprayed. Of course, nobody knelt on his neck for 9.5 minutes either. God, those people. But back to something Joey mentioned in his journal. There was mention in the hearing that every member of the Judiciary Committee sent out their best wishes to Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas as he lay in a hospital bed sick. And, you know, he's only the second African-American man
ever appointed to the court. The first, of course, having been Thurgood Marshall. And it reminded me of a story. I think it's it comes from, I seem to recall it being accounted in Woodward and Bernstein's book, The Brethren, about the Burger Court. And in later life, Justice Thurgood Marshall had some health problems. And back during the criminal enterprise, otherwise known as the Nixon administration, Justice Marshall was hospitalized. And Nixon had a couple of Secret Service guys posted outside Thurgood Marshall's door, according to the report. And at one point in time, Justice Marshall sat up in his bed, got a notepad and a pen, wrote something on it, folded it up, addressed it to Richard Nixon, handed it to called the Secret Service agent in, handed it to him, and had him take it immediately to the White House and put it into the grasping paws of Richard Pinhead Nixon. Remember, that was the nickname Harry Truman gave him. And when Nixon unfolded the note from Justice Marshall, there were only two words. Not yet. But we have to acknowledge, if something happened in which Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas, who only a week or so ago was off swanning around in Utah, for God's sakes, bemoaning how the liberals are destroying the credibility of the court, that, of course, he has been going hammer and tongs on the credibility of for decades now. Well, he's sick and he's in the hospital, and this is just the truth. If he were to go to his long home, then the Supreme Court would only have one credibly accused sexual abuser in its ranks. Right now, there are two, and he's the first one. So, you know, tots and pears, Slappy, tots and pears. I mean, imprecatory prayers are prayers too, right? Over on over on Twitter, former journalist and New York Times bestseller list author Ellen Hopkins, when the news of Slappy's hospitalization broke, she tweeted, "Well, I wouldn't," she said, "trying to maintain the high road, don't want him to die, but wouldn't mind if his health forced him into retirement. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas hospitalized with infection, High Court says." And the Supreme Court, through its spokesperson, said that he was hospitalized with an infection that resulted in flu-like symptoms. They said he would be released in a day or two. And I'm reminded of all those good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christian Republicans who back during the
8-year presidency, the two terms of Barack Obama were constantly braying about how they were praying imprecatory prayers about Barack Obama and citing some revolting passage in Psalms that says, let his wife be a widow, let his children be without a father, etc., etc. May his days be numbered short. Some such crap. And I have yet to see any, I never saw anywhere where anyone repented of it. Said, gosh, that was kind of shitty of us. Maybe we shouldn't have done that. But, yeah, we won't do that anymore. Nope. I saw some wag on social media saying, well, I'll be praying for Justice Thomas. I just won't say, I won't mention the prayers I'll be praying. A circus, you say, asks Ron and Raleigh. Who's going to shovel all the poop that the Republicans will be flinging in Judge Brown Jackson's direction? Did you hear Lindsey's BS opening statements? Spot on indeed. Oh, I did, Ron. I did. Now, this is a guy who voted for her not once, but twice. And once in the last year or so. Go figure. But now she's a wild-eyed tool of the radical, woke, critical race theory, gender freedom left. Yo, my aching back. But there was a moment, okay? There was a moment. I was watching the proceedings. And I think it was before everything got started. And there was Lady G back behind the rostrum. And he hadn't taken his seat yet. And I don't know how many people know this, but he's like one of those prehistoric hobbits that Smeagol and Deagle came from. You know, Smeagol who went on to become Gollum. He's a little tiny drip. I mean, I remember walking past him in the basement of the Russell Senate office building one year. God, he was so far down close to the floor compared to me, I could hardly make him out. I mean, Lady G is so short. He makes Tom Cruise look like the Jolly Green Giant. And I was sitting there wondering, when he sits in his Senate Judiciary chair there, I was wondering if his feet touch the floor. Just had this vision of him just sitting there with his little legs dangling off the chair. I'm sorry. You know, kind of a conundrum. Either you bring the seat up high enough to be seen above the rostrum, or you lower it to its lowest position, and your feet are still dangling. But then he did the damnedest thing. Did any of y'all see this? I mean, this is all pre-show. So the camera briefly zoomed in on Lady G as he raised up the seat cushion of his chair and examined the underside. And then put it back down. You know, kind of like as if it was a toilet seat or a toilet lid. I'm just a weird, okay? I mean, I know. But I'm sitting there going, who does that? Why is he doing that? Is he afraid that one of his wisecracking colleagues there is going to, I don't know, hide a whoopee cushion under? Have they hidden whoopee cushions under his chair cushion in the past? Was he checking for joy buzzers? Or, I don't know, some of that fake plastic vomit or dog poo? Yeah, what? Well, just add that to the list of mysteries we will never solve. Meanwhile, Genghis Khan is still grunting about the 2020 election. This just in.
Arizona Senate President Karen Fan is asking the exact right question.
Well, he is a devil with his adjectives.
About the corrupt Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. What are they hiding now? Based on the already released information regarding the rigged and stolen 2020 presidential election, including mail-in ballots without signatures and forgeries.
Yeah, what, huh? The mail-in ballots were without signatures and forgeries? There were no forgeries in the mail-in ballots? Oh, he may be, he already may be on the old Fred Trump Express.
As well as the disgusting refusal to turn over documents, now is finally the time for the Arizona Attorney General to issue warrants and take his investigation to the next level. The supervisors just won't release the information. It must really be bad. The American people deserve answers, and there is no time to waste.
Help me, Batman. You're our only hope. You notice he doesn't talk about the stupid audit anymore because, well, it turned out to be a big flop. Ooh, now that would be something, Lee in New York said. Imagine if Jenny Thomas saw her husband Slappy replaced in SCOTUS on, say, old January the 6th, 2023. Now, wouldn't that be a something? At least it, I wouldn't want to wait, but it has a certain symmetry to it. Meanwhile, Matt in San Francisco, subject line, Lindsay, I placed my money on Matt. I placed my money on he was looking for his butt plug. It was probably, well, remember, at one point you could order a Donald Trump butt plug. Gotta think that would be uncomfortable. But, you know, whatever gets you through the night, Lindsay. I wonder wherever did I put my precious Donald Trump butt plug. Oh, there it is. Goodness me. Kind of like when you forget where your glasses are when they're already on your head. Sometimes I laugh at my own jokes, and I'm not ashamed. I'll do better, I promise. Thank you, Matt. Yeah, Darlene said, wait, I came in late. Who were you talking about? I'm guessing Marsha B. I got taken away from C-SPAN for the afternoon. The last time you commented on a senator's hair, you had me rolling when you said Marsha B. had tequila hair. Oh, Darlene! I think she's, I mean, from the looks, from the way her hair's been going, I think she done it the worm. I mean, ladies, really. Like I said, I'm learning hair. Annette is just, Annette could be a genius hairstylist. I mean, she's really that good. But it's all kind of like algebra to me. But really, is this a thing? You know, looking, I don't know, looking like you got out of bed in a hurricane? Beats me. But, you know, since we're talking about Marsha, I mean, are those supposed to be beachy curls or something? Well, anyway, it came time for her to make her opening statement to Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, who, glowing testimony, is just a damn decent person. But not according to Marsha, goodness, Blackburn. Tequila. No, Judge Brown Jackson. Well, she has a hidden agenda. Like I said, hockey puck, duct tape. Yeah, she done at the worm, Darlene. Bad things happen. Bad things happen when you eat the worm, girl. They do. It would explain so much. I mean, listen.
Inclined to consider policy rather than law. You once wrote that every judge has, and I quote, personal hidden agendas, end quote, then influence how they decide cases. So I can only wonder, what's your hidden agenda? Is it to let violent criminals, cop killers, and child predators back to the streets? Is it to restrict parental rights and expand government's reach into our schools and our private family decisions? Is it to support the radical left's attempt to pack the Supreme Court?
No, it can't be that, Marsha, because the radical right already did that. Merrick Garland. Neil Gorsuch. Brett. Handmaid. I'm saying. Just saying. Yeah, Megan. Marsha. For being a U.S. senator, her hair at the hearing today looked like dried-out straw that had been run through the crimping iron. Jesus, lady, it's called hair conditioner, for God's sake. Yeah, when she got to her diatribe about trans folks, I rolled my eyes so hard I saw the back of my head. I know. Ooh, the transgenders. Ooh, Leah Thomas. It's disappointing to see people who are nominally allies, you know, making an exception over Leah Thomas. When the facts, well, we'll get there too. Back to Marsha. Imagine accusing an Article III federal judge of being a pedophile coddler. Lord, that takes a double plus dose of stupid.
Government's reach into our schools and our private family decisions. Is it to support the radical left's attempt to pack the Supreme Court? You have praised the 1619 Project, which...
No, no, not the 1619 Project, but wait till somebody, I don't know, she got it in a Cracker Jack box or a gumball machine, some sort of Heritage Foundation, Federalist Society gumball machine, but here comes the definition of the 1619 Project. Of course, the 1619 Project is nothing more than an attempt to make clear the history of how our national original sin came to life.
Which argues the U.S. is a fundamentally racist country.
It really doesn't. It points out that this country was founded in large part by a significant number of the colonies being propelled by the stolen labor of enslaved people, and enslavement is racist. Oh,
and you have made clear that you believe judges must consider critical race theory when deciding how to sentence criminal defendants.
She could not find a citation for that by herself if she had to.
Is it your personal hidden agenda to incorporate critical race theory into our legal system?
Dumbass, if it was her hidden agenda, do you really think she'd tell you? I mean, it wouldn't be hidden anymore. God, if that woman's brains was gas, she wouldn't have enough to power a piss ant's motorcycle halfway around a BB.
These are answers that the American people need to know. So we are going to look at past statements and decisions and seek clarification from this committee before we make our decisions. So let me close again by congratulating you.
Oh, really? You're going to congratulate her? Yeah, that is so Southern. Bless your heart. Good God, Ketanji Brown Jackson could think Marsha Blackburn under the table. Yeah, Darlene reminds us. Don't forget, having speeding tickets, according to Tequila Worm Slurp and Marsha B, is akin to having a rap sheet. Specifically, if you are one of those black people, you know, them rappers, get it? In Marsha's tequila-ridden brain, black person equals rapper equals rap sheet. Oh, where's mine? Oh.
Yee. Mother.
Matt adds, pedophile judge. The narrative goes along with the QAnon narrative. Got to keep the freaks inside. You're humming along on all eight cylinders this evening, Matt. The narrative goes along with the QAnon narrative. Got to keep the freaks. I'll get through this in a minute. Got to keep the freaks inside the tent. The only exception, Matt, being when you herd them over to the this way to the egress side and charge them a quarter. And they wind up outside the fence at the entry booth going, wait a minute, I thought we dug paid. Oh, you got to pay again, Mark. Come on in, Rube. But you're right, Matt. They know no shame. Got to keep the freaks inside the tent. You want to buy here? You want to buy a cup of pee and some onions for your socks?
You on your impressive career and your nomination to the nation's highest court. Regardless of the outcome of the confirmation process, you and your family should be incredibly proud of all that you...
Oh, why didn't you just say you people?
...you have achieved. Your story is a wonderful example of the American dream fulfilled. You are able to sit here today because you were reared and built your career in a free country whose laws protect equal justice and opportunity for all to ensure that future generations can...
God, can you... thank you, Megan. Megan pointed out, Trevor Noah put it out of the park. Trevor Noah tweeting, just in, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson has already said, is this guy serious to herself more than most people will in a lifetime? And she had to sit there and smile because it's a great, you know, being a Supreme Court justice is a great gig. You don't actually have to ever do another lick of work as a judge of your own. That's why you hire all the little smarties out of Yale and Harvard and Stanford for your clerks. They do the heavy lifting. And mostly you just autograph opinions. Ask questions at the hearings and oral arguments and whatnot. If that's the kind of justice you want to be. And you've got the job for life. I have a feeling she's going to be a good justice. She is not going to be a wild-eyed agent of the radical left, because that is never the judge she has been. She's just going to be a typical Supreme Court justice, and that is to say, absolutely committed to maintaining the legal status quo. You know, so much was made, and rightly so, over her status as the first black woman to ever be nominated to the Supreme Court. But and Cory Booker alluded to this, and Senator Alex Padilla of California did a great job at this, pointing out how many firsts were sitting on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and in conjunction with Judge Jackson being the first African-American woman to be nominated for a seat on the Supreme Court. And I was moved when, having wrapped up his remarks, Senator Padilla then addressed Spanish-speaking America. And I even picked up a couple of nouns and a couple of verbs along the way. But it was a reminder of the beautiful diversity that is this country. But at the same time that he was talking, I was thinking, here is a black woman who hopefully, if Joe Manchin doesn't screw her, it's not like he doesn't have a history. If he doesn't, she will take a seat on that court whose foundational pillar jurist was a man who profited by enslavement. I'm talking about, of course, Justice John Marshall, Chief Justice John Marshall. By the way, you know who became Chief Justice after John Marshall died? Roger Taney, the guy who gave us the Dred Scott decision, who pushed us even further toward the nightmare hellscape of civil war. I know. Marsha, Gedneth Blackburn is certainly, if not the, she is certainly first runner up to stupidest person in the Senate of the United States. And if, say, Ron Johnson, for instance, doesn't win in this November in Wisconsin, she will, because he will be unable to fulfill his duties as stupidest person in the United States Senate, officially be crowned with the title. Jeff Tiedrich over on Twitter gets it, too. Pro tip. If you supported the guy who was so blackout drunk all the way through prep school and college that he literally has no idea how many women he assaulted, kindly sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up about a Supreme Court nominee who is actually qualified. Hear, hear. I know. And meanwhile, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley, Congress won't be ignoring it when Republicans take the House back. New York Post, White House ignores its Hunter problem. Oh, God, we got a $750 fundraising goal, and you're going to make me sing. Hunter Biden, the Benghazi overtime. We will hear about Hunter Biden until we're all fit to lose our mind. Everybody! Yep, I did. Megan says, get out your tattered robe. You called it. And then, of course, Bobert, from Ron Filipkowski. Bobert attacked Pete Buttigieg today for taking paternity leave. I delivered one of my children in the front seat of my truck. Because as a mom of four, we got things to do. Ain't nobody got no time for 2.5 months of maternity leave. We have a world to save. Oh, shut up. Shut up, Clanny Oakley. Just put on your pointy hat and sit around in your underwear and go back to eating mayonnaise straight out of the jar. That is, you know, congratulations on your nomination. Whatever happens to you, you horrible radical left commie Rosicrucian Illuminati person, you. That is exactly damning with faint praise. Rusty says, I heard her say the only reason she was up for this appointment is because of the grace of God. She'll fit right in with the majority of the court. Yeah, I cringed. But maybe she is of a different and more humane stripe of Christian instead of the wild-eyed, radical, anti-Vatican II crowd. But yeah, I heard that. Oh, God. Wrap it up, Marcia.
Expect the same blessings and opportunities you receive. We need justices who will be dedicated to justice and the rule of law. Our questions to you over the coming days are going to be tough, but they're tough by necessity because it is our duty to discern,
determine she said duty.
Whether you will, first and foremost, uphold the Constitution and our nation's founding principles. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Senator Blackburn.
Thank you, Senator Blackburn, for that stunning display of your monumental stupidity. Yeah, I know. That's one of those chicken or the egg things, Ron and Raleigh. I still say the stupidest person in the United States Senate is Tommy the Tuber. Ron Johnson's a damned rocket scientist by comparison. That's a hell of a comparison, too, isn't it? It kind of makes your teeth ache. And of course, someone was there who didn't necessarily get mentioned by name. Over at Salon, Amanda Marcotte mentioning the fact that QAnon was in the room, particularly represented by the guy who waved on the MAGA mob to attack the Capitol. I'm talking about young Ivy League scholar Josh Hawley. Amanda Marcotte noting, Hawley, who is in heavy competition with fellow Senate Judiciary Committee member Ted Cruz of Texas for the title of most repulsive creep in the GOP,
We talked about this last week.
She has a pattern of letting child porn offenders off the hook for their appalling crimes.
And you heard Marsha pick that ball up and run with it. I mean, it was just nauseating to hear that garbage. With the memory still fresh in my mind, of the pathetic dumb show that was the confirmation hearings for Justice Handmaid.
Don't you dare ask her about that cult she's in. You hear it? We said, don't you dare.
Yes, ma'am. Disgusting. There was a, and this is a technical legal term, shit ton of stupidity in that room today. But as is, it is true that it's hard not to just confess judgment that Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, is the most loathsome man in the United States Senate. Remember, Al Franken wrote at one point in time that if someone was to murder Ted Cruz in the well of the Senate, no one would rat on the killer. It was a joke. But, yeah. As to Boebert giving birth, Megan says, does she understand that maybe not all women have the ability to open their vaginas like elevator doors and shoot their offspring out on command? I'm going with no. Yeah, my baby was born looking like it had been shot out of a small bore cannon. Fire!
No, Robin, don't.
Don't. Fire in the hole! That's what they used to say in the coal mines, you know, when they drill into the coal seam and stuff it full of dynamite and light it. Fire in the hole! Look, it's a baby! Well, I guess we're going to have to replace the carpeting in our Silverado now. You know, if they weren't so dangerous, we'd just think of them as gifts that keep on giving. By the way, we are well into the second hour of the program now, and we've got a $25 challenge on the table. It'd be great if someone would meet that, pretty please, and get us down to... Only $700 to go to get even with what we need for our fundraising. It'd be really helpful. Because coming into a Titanic Tuesday with the fundraising goal at $1,050, it gets scary. There are only 10 days left in 10 days left in March, and two of those are weekend days. So if we could get caught up, it would be wonderful. And thanks to everybody who does hear these humiliating pleas and responds. Can never thank you enough.
As to Clanny Oakley, Jeremy says, Boobert must have taken time between her and her husband's multiple domestic assault charges that they've racked up between them, themselves on each side, you know, back before she got her GED, just as she entered Congress. That's when she was giving birth on the front seat of the pick-em-up truck. Well, I guess, you know, every politician wants a log cabin story. Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley, the woman who went to Congress without even being able to read or think. And back to Raffaelito. It would be help if, it would be helpful if I actually turned the channel on.
To be anti-democratic. Our Democratic colleagues get frustrated with the democratic process. When they can't pass gun control laws because the American people don't support them, they want unelected judges to mandate those same laws instead. Law after law after law that they can't get through the democratic process, the Democrats have decided it's much simpler to convince five lawyers in black robes than to try to convince 330 million Americans. That is why Supreme Court confirmation hearings have been.
Just a second. I have a question. Why does Raffaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, why does every time he opens his mouth, why does he sound like someone who suffers from near-terminal constipation? Do you hear that, too? Democrats don't like the what? Yeah. Okay. Hey, thank you, Henry. Henry just jumped in, and we are now down to only $725 to go. Henry met Joey and Giraffe's challenge. Thank you, Henry. Thank you a bunch. That's wonderful. Thank you. Oh, well, let's go back to grunting about the democratic process, shall we?
It becomes so contentious is because the Supreme Court has arrogated to itself a responsibility the Constitution doesn't give it, which is to make contested policy decisions and take them away from the American people. It is only one side of the aisle that, with Justice Clarence Thomas, was so reprehensible that is, the president who nominated him, President George Herbert Walker Bush, wrote at the time, quote, what's happening to Clarence Thomas is just plain horrible. All the groups that tried to beat him up on abortion or affirmative action have now come out of the woodwork. They are trying to destroy a decent man. This is an ugly process, and one can see clearly.
Wait, that's kind of the damnedest thing. Using Clarence Thomas and decent man in the same sentence? Dude's wife was actively involved with an insurrection that tried to topple constitutional governance in the United States, and we are talking about him being a decent man? Oh, Inigo Montoya, where are you when we need you? Decent? Decent? You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. Decent.
Clearly. Why so many good people elect to stay out of public life.
Elect. Thanks for that, Ted.
As Justice Thomas observed in that hearing, what happened there was, to use his words, a high-tech lynching. And I would note the chairman who presided over that disgrace was Joe Biden. And then most of the
Joe Biden killed Cock Robin. Joe Biden kidnapped the Lindbergh baby. Oh, God. And you'd think a guy whose daddy was accused of being in on the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy might be a little bit more circumspect in his wild-eyed. Yeah.
And you know what? But you're right. You're right, Raffaelito. Joe Biden did chair that hearing. And Joe Biden got Clarence Thomas through. In fact, it was one of those things that gave a number of us some rather significant pause about him being the Democratic nominee. Oh, but never mind.
Members of this committee remember the confirmation hearing of Brett Kavanaugh. One of the lowest moments in the history of this committee.
Oh, you mean when he threw the fit and cried and carried on like a little pissant? That Brett Kavanaugh? The Brett Kavanaugh who's on the court now and we still don't know who the hell paid off his mortgage for him? That Brett Kavanaugh? The Brett Kavanaugh who, no kidding, was so pass-out drunk through prep school and college he didn't know how many women he assaulted? Oh, different story.
Where Democrats on this committee sat on allegations, didn't refer them to the FBI, didn't ask for investigations, hid them, and then leaked them against the wishes of the complainant.
And then, you know, of course, he leaves out the $10 million in dark money that went into Kavanaugh's and Justice Handmaid's campaigns for confirmation. Oh, but that's okay, because I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican.
And we began a circus that featured Spartacus moments, featured such nuts as Michael Avenatti, whom CNN breathlessly for some months described as a possible Democratic presidential candidate. That's before, presumably, he became a felon in recent months. Judge Jackson, I can assure you that your hearing will feature none of that disgraceful behavior.
And then Marsha Blackburn talked. Yeah, I know.
No one is going to inquire into your teenage dating habits.
No. Probably because she never raped anybody, but that's, you know.
Severity, do you like beer?
Hawaii Senator Mizzi Hirono, who opposed.
I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. Yeah.
So if Tommy the Tuber is the dumbest man in the Senate, then Raffaelito is the most despicable. Jeremy in Vermont says, Joe Biden threw the very lightning bolt that caught the Hindenburg on fire. Why hasn't that been investigated in the near 100 years since it's happened? Huh, Ted? Huh? Why not? Inquiring minds want to know. Yeah. Well, this is conversation radio, after all. Let's go over to the stress line and see who's on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, happy Monday, Robin. It's Dave in the Blind.
Well, hey, Dave. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I wanted to give you all an update. Yesterday was the anniversary of Christine's stroke.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, it's been a year now. And in that time, she's gotten a good chunk of her peripheral vision back. According to one optometrist, the part of her optic nerve that's involved in her central vision is not connected to the brain. She is looking at ways of re-entering the workforce by getting help through Indiana Vocational Rehabilitation. And they referred her to the blind school for some other things. So there's a lot of irons in the fire with her right now. She's doing well. Other than that, she's as feisty as ever and as taking on her family, who are are being ableist about most things concerning her. Like, she can't handle her money because she's blind, that kind of bullshit.
Well, you know, blindness it's a little known true fact that blindness does destroy one's ability to cipher.
Or not. Is that your excuse, Robin? Okay, we'll go with it. Can you not see beyond the edge of your nose? Is that the problem?
It could be.
But here I thought you were a graduate of the Jethro Bodine School of Ciphering and Figures.
Yeah, but
where the school motto is not is not. Yeah. So.
And on graduation, you get a nickel squirter and a blue serge suit.
Really? Is that a two-piece or a three-piece suit?
Oh, it's a three-piece, with two pairs of pants. With two pairs of pants.
You go all fancy. Oh, okay. That's your Sunday go to meeting suit. Yeah, all right.
Exactly.
You know, when you're talking about the dumbest Republican in the Senate, that is a difficult question. I would put my two senators up for that contest in any day of the week. Yeah, you don't hear much from them because they're smart enough to mostly keep their mouths shut. Evidently, somebody read some Mark Twain to them one time, and they took the lesson about being thought a fool for staying silent and not opening your mouth and removing all doubt. But I think you've been a little redundant this evening, Robin.
Oh, no.
In referring to Lady G's butt plug, Donald Trump is a butt plug. It's not a question of if or he's shaped like a butt plug. He is a butt plug for a very special Russian. And, of course, the Republican Party are a bunch of butt plugs for him. So, that being said, I think Rafael Eduardo Cruz needs to just keep his mouth shut, because the more that boy yammers, the more you wonder why he forgot to become stop being a Canadian citizen while he was running for president. The senator from Winnipeg should just keep his mouth shut.
I always love that, the senator from Winnipeg.
Well, it's hysterically accurate.
It so is.
He is from Winnipeg. I mean, there's no problem with him being of Canadian descent serving in the Senate. He just needs to stop being a Canadian citizen.
Hold on. That's Cubanadian. Cubanadian.
It's Cubanadian. Oh, you're right, Robin. I forgot. Q rules all from behind the scenes. Thank you for reminding me. I regret the error. But he just needs to shut the fuck up.
Well, he really did melt down in the airport in Bozeman, Montana this weekend.
You know what? Why didn't they just bring the 4-point restraints, and the gentleman in the white coats and the Now, Senator, we're going to take you someplace where you can get plenty of rest and relaxation, and don't you worry about that. We'll get you back.
A farm in the country.
You know.
Rivers of beer over your grandmother's paisley shawl. Waving and, fields of alfalfa.
I have a friend of mine from Montana, and he sent me a picture of a liquor store that was attached to a gun shop, as if those two things can mix really well. You know, and he said, it's normal to have guns everywhere in Montana. He said, you would not believe it, but, you know, you have a church picnic, there's a raffle with a gun, you know. It's probably to the point where they're trying to get more guns into Montana than there are cattle. Which, does that give the guns the right to vote like the cattle have? I don't know.
I think it's at least even odds.
Well, you know, and you wonder what kind of bullshit they'll fall for as voters, those cattle. But I and will somebody please tell Lady G? I know what Lady G was looking for. He was looking for one of his old gentleman callers who might have been sitting under the seat whispering what he should say, you know. No, I didn't call you Lady G. No, we don't ever refer to you as Lady G. Lady G, why would you say that? Yeah.
Well, Matt, like I said, Matt's really on a roll this evening. Matt in San Francisco, subject line Ted Cruz. Does he have a special chair design that he utilizes? He must, because it's the only way he could sit comfortably with his balls being so big as to pontificate so boldly about all the bullshit hypocrisy. Yeah, gotta carry him in a wheelbarrow.
He's got a hole in the middle of his chair where those can hang down, so he doesn't have to actually sit on the mat. See, that's how that works. We normally call that a bedside commode where I'm from, but, you know, with Ted, who knows? He might call it his convenience chair. I don't know. And besides, there is a question about whether Ted is still putting stock in Vitalis. So,
are you kidding? They tap his scalp. He's a producer, not a user.
Oh really? Oh good Lord!
Little tiny oil derricks right there in his head.
Drill, baby, drill.
Drill, Teddy, drill. Jeremy says, Dave, at least when the guns vote compared to the cows, they skip chewing the cud and get right down to their votes. They're, after all, mostly, oh, God, straight shooters. Gunner, Jeremy. Gunner.
Yeah. Yeah. These poor put upon straight guys that always make me wonder, you know, they're worried about everything but what's actually a problem. And then they look over and say, their biggest problem is that Judge Jackson Brown is not...
Brown Jackson.
Jackson Brown.
Oh, sorry, Jackson Brown
did.
I vote for Jackson Brown to be on the court, because then, you know, at least somebody could carry a tune there. But she, you know, was a public defender. As we all know, poor people should not have proper legal representation at any time in their lives, because, well, they're poor people. And they're poor people because rich people want to keep everything for themselves.
Well, and that's how they stay rich.
That's how they stay rich. And if you get $1.25 more, then we've done our job as misrepresentatives in the Congress. And, good Lord. And since Marginal Trailer Queen has been stripped of her committee assignments, and she doesn't really do much of anything, why the hell are we paying her?
Because she won the election.
Well, then the next time she causes a ruckus in the Congress, there are behavioral fines in that body. Those should be referred to the Treasury to withhold a certain amount of money. It doesn't have to be much. It could be $12, and she'd probably raise a couple million on it. Well, they're restricting my right to say anything.
I know. You know, it gets tiresome, doesn't it?
I begin to wonder why we even, you know, the best amendment in the U.S. Constitution was the 21st Amendment, because that allowed people like me to legally drink when I have a problem like this.
I understand.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? Roy Tobler said he'd repeal every amendment to the Constitution except the first 10, but I doubt that he could name the first 10. And the problem is, he was a judge. So.
Yeah.
Well, but stupidity is a requirement.
Well, if you want to be a good Republican, hell, it's a condition precedent.
Well, Robin, I thought I'd stop by and let everybody know Chris is doing okay.
I'm glad.
And she knows that everybody. She told me to tell you guys that she knows. She still has a lot of people pulling for her, and she appreciates it.
Well, we truly, you know, we truly are.
And so I'll let you go so somebody else can jump in on the conversation.
Okie doke. Dave, you take care of yourself. We'll talk soon, all right?
All right.
All right, later.
I'll talk to you later, my friend. Bye.
Right, bye. Our buddy Dave in the blind. Lines are open. Both the stress line and the Skype line, if you want to get involved in the conversation, feel more than free to do so. We're a little over halfway done with this Moran Monday, and I told you that in this house were many Morans, and I wasn't kidding. Little Supreme Court news from the Associated Press today. They rejected certiorari on a Christianist organization. They sued when a bisexual lawyer applied for a job. The lower court said, yeah, let's let this thing go to trial. And the Supreme Court today said, yeah, we're not going to mess with it. Union Gospel Mission in Seattle. They ostensibly serve as a as an access point for food and shelter for unhoused people. They offer some level of addiction recovery and job placement and legal services. And Jesus, 6 years ago in 2016, they were trying to hire a lawyer for their legal aid clinic. And a guy named Matthew Woods applied. He'd been volunteering at the clinic for over 3 years. When he applied for the job and was told flat out, well, your application is not going anywhere because Union Gospel Mission has a code of conduct. And your homosexual activity violates the Union Gospel Mission code of conduct. Curious that they were willing to have him work for them for free and it didn't violate their code of conduct, but if they were going to part with any money, well, that's where the Christianity comes in, I guess. And Matthew Woods sued, claiming he had been discriminated against on the basis of his sexual orientation, which is prescribed by Washington state law. Well, the trial court said, case dismissed, because the court said that since they were a godly organization, the anti-discrimination law in the state of Washington didn't count. But the Supreme Court of the state of Washington said nope, and sent it back for trial. And I guess this was just a little too, so they didn't take the case. And amazingly, Sammy Bad Breath and Slappy Thomas said, we probably shouldn't take this case. But the day may soon come when the court will have to confront that issue. Meaning they're looking for a better case with better lawyers. And then they'll screw over. They'll screw over the human rights of bi people. Lord. And marginal trailer queen is Nazi grunting some more. She retweeted a graphic video from another Twitter account and said, torture and abuse of Ukrainian people, including women and children. I'm strongly opposed to Putin's invasion and Russia's war in Ukraine, and I'm strongly opposed to this. The U.S. must demand Zelensky stop his military from torturing his own people. These Nazi militias doing the torture. We should not spend billions of Americans' hard-earned bone marrow, tax dollars, on lethal aid to be given to possible Nazi militias that are torturing innocent people, especially children and women. It's not pro-Putin to be against this. It's pro-torture and evil to stay silent and censor it. Oh. If you get close enough, can you just hear the thin gray settling sloshing around between her ears? Does it sound like, I don't know, does it sound like the water pump on a failing washing machine? Oh, cowbell, Lee in New York. The bisexual lawyer rejected by the Union Gospel Mission. Yeah, well, they would have accepted him as a priest. That's why the cowbell. Well done. I know, Jeremy. I know.
Jeremy said, I went a long way with that pun to be funny, yet pow pow, and you both shot me down. Jeremy, it was humane. And this, by the way, from Kevin up in Massachusetts. So, and we might as well deal with this. So, if Manchin votes no, then would it stand to reason Sinema would as well? That said, are there two solid yes votes in the GOP? And as an aside, I'm curious to see how the voting would have gone had Clarence Thomas not come down for breakfast this past Saturday morning. Well, the Manchin part, I just have a creepy feeling. Because he's got a real taste for being shitty to women who are nominees of a Democratic president, and about being shitty to people of color who are nominees of a Democratic president. And because I receive targeted ads online, I see on a fairly regular basis some of that sweet, sweet, sweet dark money at work. Tell Joe Manchin to vote no on Ketanji Brown Jackson. She's wrong for West Virginia. She don't got no hillbilly values. That's a really long-winded way of saying she's black. And I swear, if she even gets in the same area code of something that he can extrapolate as even remotely unkind, poof. And Kevin, you ask about two Republican votes. Well, she had three Republican votes last year, Lady G and Lisa Murkowski and noted Republican centrist Susan Collins. Well, we know Lady G's out. I really said that wrong, didn't I? Lady G is not out. Lady G's so far in the closet, she's probably riding as Aslan the Lion through Narnia. But Lady G is a no vote because hypocrisy doesn't bother Lady G in the least. After all, that Donald Trump butt plug vibrates 15 speeds. But maybe Susan Collins and maybe Lisa Murkowski. I don't necessarily know that Kyrsten Sinema would follow suit on this. God, I hope she's never said anything about climate change being real. Or the need for green energy, renewable energy. Because then Joe Manchin will talk about how she's failed to follow an all of the above energy policy, which means keep blowing them fucking mountains up. Because Joe likes it when mountains blow up and valleys get filled in and streams get buried. Because it's good business. So look, y'all just pretend it's going to be okay, and I, on the other hand, will sit here and wring my hands in pearl clutch and do all the worrying, okay? I wish we didn't have to do this. But, you know, nothing's safe. Yeah, Kevin, you're right. Kevin says, I think he's got a problem with women in general. I think you're not wrong. Not at all. Let's see who's back on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yeah, there you are.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Tracy.
Okay. Give me a minute. I'm still kind of off this afternoon, but hallelujah. Praise God. I submitted my application for grad school. And let me tell you why I didn't do it earlier.
Yes.
Okay. Because you know that thing about paying attention to detail and detail oriented and oriented or whatever.
Right.
So I'm looking at the, I think I sent this to you about, you know, the file naming designation, how they want it to, you know, either do the, you know, for the statement of purpose and the writing sample. Well, it says, you know, Tracy, you know, your first name underscore, last name underscore, and then SOP for statement of purpose. And then you scroll down to writing sample, and they have the same file designation for the writing sample. And I'm like, well, how the heck am I supposed to do that? Because we both, I mean, even I and you, who, you know, not that we hate computers, but even we know you can't have a file, two files with the same name.
No.
It's stable. Ain't going to work. Ain't going to happen. And then also, there was a thing about, you know, the name of the document. It said to put your name on the top of the document, first name, last name, and then page number. Now, remember, the statement of purpose was only one page. So why do I need a page number on a statement of purpose, right? But then there's nothing down there, you know, in the instructions for the writing sample, which is at least 2 to 3 pages. So, me being me, because, you know, these are the things that, you know, I've never applied for grad school, but to me, that thing about paying attention to details and stuff like that and following instructions, that's probably something that they might appreciate in a potential, in an applicant, right? So,
sure.
I called. First time I called, they answered and hung up. I'm like, it's not voting well. So I called the main number for Singh College because this is a, so the Singh College is kind of like, I don't know, I wouldn't call it college extension or anything like that. It's part of CSUN, but it's separate from CSUN, if that makes any sense. It's just its own separate, you know, but I, like when I get accepted, because I keep saying I'm going to get accepted, I will still have my same CSUN student ID number, CSUN email address, but for certain things, like, okay, when I want to get tutored, I can still use the tutoring and all that, but I won't be able to sign on automatically to sign up for tutoring. I'll actually have to physically call to get an appointment, which is stupid because they have to, you know, each school has to figure out a way to talk to each other. Anyway, so I finally get a hold of somebody, and I point out the issue. And you know what the woman says? She's like, oh, my God, you are the first applicant that actually saw that. I mean, who actually called about it. I said, okay, great. Does that mean I get in?
Yeah, free pass.
You know, does that mean that I automatically get in and all that? And she said, I'm not kidding. I mean, I would think that, you know, I'm one of the kind of people that you want in your graduate program. If I'm the only one, that, I said, I don't know about the rest of these people that are applying to do call and ask this question and weren't paying attention. And she's like, well, but anyway, so I said, you know, so she goes, thank you for pointing that out. I will definitely, she said, somebody probably, you know, was just copying and pasting and wasn't paying attention. I'm like, yeah. Instructions, it just says put your name, like, it doesn't say, it just says put your name, first name and last name, and page number at the top of the page. But it doesn't say should it be in the header? Should it be, you know, left justified, right justified? You know, those things.
Yeah, the things that matter.
she's like, you know, still she says, I'm, you know, thank you for pointing it out. I said, you know, this is a definite age thing because, you know, I've been off in school, in school since, let's see, 1971 when I went to kindergarten. So, and there's a certain rule that are cemented into your head. And so, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I said it's an age thing. I just think that it's not that people weren't paying attention. They just, you know, they weren't paying attention. Or maybe they just decided to do their own thing. I don't know.
Well, it does seem kind of asleep at the switch.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the remedy?
Well, I'm fine because I call and I ask what to do. Whether, I don't know if anybody's going to be penalized or anything like that, but they can't be penalized if they, you know, if the instructions weren't clear.
Well, but I mean, it's not even an instructional thing. It's a mechanical thing.
What do you mean, mechanical?
Well, I mean.
Oh, because they left the information out.
Well, they left it. But they also, they got a bug.
No, they don't. It wasn't the bug. It was the fact that whoever did the web page, just didn't put in the. Like she said, more likely they copied and pasted that information and just didn't take. They didn't proofread.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. She said she's gonna, as we were talking, she was sending an email to whoever, you know, tech support or whomever, to correct it. But she also pointed out, she said, is your application almost done? I said, yeah. I said, my application is done. Only thing I have to do is submit my writing sample. She said, good, because apparently this is a very popular program and it's filling up like gangbusters. And like I said, I don't know if yet tomorrow is the priority deadline. So that part. So it's submitted. I'm done.
Writing samples in too?
Yep.
Glory.
Because you can't submit the application without both the statement of purpose and the writing sample being uploaded into the because if you hit submit without either one, it won't submit. You'll get an error message saying, yo, I got something. But the interface, if they were to ask me about the interface for the application, it sucks. It is the graphics and all that rudimentary at best.
It is sucktastic.
So, what did you just say?
It is sucktastic.
Oh, sucktastic, yes. And I'm like, y'all need to do better with this because this is pretty critical. But like I said, I'm it's done. I'm finished with that. And now, like you said, this I can go on to worrying about bigger and better things.
And I know you will.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. That is in my DNA. It is. So, yeah, I'm I'm just like a weight lifted off my shoulders. I meant to ask her how long it takes before you find out if you've been admitted. Now I'm wondering though, because the final deadline is like May 1st. And I'm like, if they're already filling up by now, I don't know what to do. I feel bad for people that are going to be submitting after tomorrow.
Yeah, probably done. Not going to happen.
Yeah, because not going to happen unless somebody that did get in and they don't decide to attend and they, you know, go for another school and it was just like this was just their backup or whatever.
Fail safe.
So apparently, fail safe. So I think so it's basically going to be like five, because it's like the program is like four semesters or whatever at about $5,000 a semester.
Ow. But still, compared...
Ouch.
But compared to a lot of programs, that's kind of reasonable?
Yeah.
For grad school?
It is kind of reasonable for grad school. And then, like I said, your classes are synchronous and or asynchronous. It's 100% online. You do meet with your professor. There's a like weekly session with your professor and the rest of your cohort. And it's one class at a time, which works perfectly for my brain.
Yes. Not having to focus on 16 things at a time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, this other program, I think it tells you two to three nights a week, and like every other Saturday.
That's not horrible.
That's a recipe for burnout. Three nights a week, okay, so I drive every day. As I drop off, then I got to schlep to to Pasadena from Inglewood or wherever my route will be next semester and sit in class. No, thank you. And then, like, every other Saturday, like, at least two Saturdays a month on top of that? I'm good. The thing is, I think after COVID, COVID taught them, schools that there's a different, another way that they can teach and provide access to schools. And online is not a terrible thing. You know, you give people, when you offer out, access to your classes online, that opens up, the possibilities to a whole lot of people who otherwise would not be able to go to school. Especially when classes are asynchronous. Because that's just, that makes sense, right?
Yeah. So did you get to, while you were stuck in traffic and whatnot, because I know you were, did you get to pay any attention to the confirmation hearings today?
I did not because, remember I told you traffic was terrible. I just didn't understand what was going on. There was a jumper.
Oh.
That's why the freeway came to it. They didn't jump. At least I don't think they did. But that's why the 405 South came to a complete standstill. Because somebody was trying to jump off one of the overpasses. But no, I haven't heard anything. So how's it? So I did hear you say that Ms. Lindsay is showing her ass.
Or looking for it.
Oh, overall, how did the confirmation hearings go?
I mean, they'll be going on tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Today it was all about, those statements by the senators, and I want to be equal opportunity on this because it applies Democrat or Republican. Those are vanity. Yeah, those are just fundraising videos in production.
I see. To get the folks back home, they say, "Oh, they're doing their job, keeping that other person, that Negro." You know.
Yeah, but like I said, it's Democrats or Republicans.
Give it out what for?
You know, because you can put the video up online with a fundraising appeal. And they can write about it back home in the moral
in the newsletter,
in the busted knuckle moral volcano and battle cry of freedom, you know. But Josh Hawley and Marsha were in rare form. Marsha wanted to know about her hidden agenda to force critical race theory into the Constitution.
What?
I mean, she's pro-level stupid.
Is she really?
Yeah, yes, I'm not kidding.
Wow. That takes a whole nother level of...
And of course, because I now have little puppy dog ears that perk up every time I hear the word trans. She went down the trans rabbit hole while she was hitting all the buzzwords that keep the knuckle walkers and the mouth breathers in a perpetual state of agitation and dudgeon. I mean, I'm surprised she didn't ask her if she'd ever been swimming with Leah Thomas or something. Jesus Christ.
Did we get the same scrutiny with being Brett Kavanaugh and the handmaid and all that?
Yeah, because those are good. But yeah, I mean, if she'd sat there and said, you know, I like beer, I don't know, would they have been good? Would they have been good then? Anybody's guess. But it was Josh Hawley was. Josh Hawley was bad enough that the Senate Judiciary Chair Dick Durbin had to. Bitch slap him a little bit.
Good. Somebody called him out. Thank you.
Yeah, because he said, you know, she's soft on sex crimes.
And like I said, so the Republicans should be happy.
Because Hawley said, I've noticed an alarming pattern when it comes to Judge Jackson's treatment of sex offenders, especially those preying on children.
Oh, my God. Now, who's the fool? I mean, I know he's not a senator, but who's the fool that Venmo his girlfriend is a girl to fly across state lines so he can have sex with her and she's still a congressperson?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Matt Gates, right?
Yeah. Matt, it just gates worse.
Right.
And Dick Durbin, though, referring to Hawley, he said, these baseless charges are unfair. A conservative National Review columnist called claims brought by one of my colleagues meritless to the point of demagoguery. They fly in the face of pledges my colleagues made that they would approach your nomination with civility and respect. But that didn't, you know.
Two words that are not in their vocabulary.
Yeah, didn't it, you know, doesn't It's kind of like when the roaches get used to the decon parties. It doesn't even slow them down.
Right. It's like, you know, why can we bother? Why is he even?
But I am, like I said, I'm waiting for Joe Manchin to screw her over. I will be happily, pleasantly surprised if he doesn't.
Now, how many more days are the hearing?
I think they're going to go. They'll go through Thursday.
And what time do they start it in, or are they still going on? Or
I think they're done for now, but. She'll start fielding questions tomorrow.
Okay.
And there'll be there'll probably be a couple of days, and then, you know, there'll be more testimony, and then the committee will vote, and it'll break according to party lines. And, of course,
Didn't she get confirmed as a
97,
appellate court judge?
Yeah, 97 to 3.
And that was just last year, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or no, not last year. Last year, I think it was like 52 or 53 to 48 or 47. Because Lady G and Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins voted in her favor to put her on the appeals court.
Wow. You know, I just want to sometimes get Susan Collins somebody get that woman a cough drop.
Right, I just want to give her a Ludens, right?
Right, just like, you know, they're not that expensive, y'all.
And I was always I was always partial to the cherry Ludens.
Yes, exactly. I mean, look. They're not that expensive. If, you know, and I'm pretty sure she can make it a line item to write it off, as, you know, for to make the taxpayers pay for it. So it's this. Come on, now, what's the problem? Call for something, whatever. These people. But I think sometimes it's just best that I don't watch the hearing. Because I'm finishing up, you know, I didn't have midterm, but I got a bunch of other stuff that's coming up due. Oh, you guys, wait, that's coming up due. And I don't, you know, I don't need any extra aggravation. And I really like my TV, and I don't want to throw anything at it. You know?
Yeah, I do.
Because, you know, somebody will say something really stupid and racist and whatnot and so forth.
But the only way you can avoid that is just by turning off media entirely.
But you know I do.
And sometimes that's healthy. Sometimes it's the only way to maintain your equanimity.
Yeah, I get bits and pieces from Jan, and, you know, every so often I do watch the news, and, I don't know if it was Eagle Rock or Echo Park. I don't know if it made the news into your neck of the woods, but there's a lot of steep hills out here in L.A., like San Francisco level steep, that you can't even see. You come up to the, you know, the crest, and you don't see anything. And so these people have taken it upon themselves to, you know, run some stupid national TikTok, and they're driving at us, and they're trying to catch air. And so I guess couple of nights ago, these fools in a rented Tesla, Robin, took hot air, and the Tesla went airborne, came down, and not only told the Tesla, but hit a couple of the cars. The impact was such a great force that the houses around shook. They thought it was a earthquake.
Oh my God.
And yeah, it was just that bad. And so the culprits got another Tesla and drove off. And I'm like, my thing, because apparently the Tesla was rented. And so I'm like, so you don't think they're going to be able to trace that back to whoever did it? But here's what I don't get. They post this stuff on TikTok to get likes. So you're going to risk your life. You're going to destroy a vehicle. And then possibly, because it was not that long ago, that some fool, I don't know if he was racing or what, lost control of his vehicle and crashed into an apartment building, killing this man and his toddler daughter, 2 or 3 year old daughter, while they were sleeping.
Jesus.
You know, so there's all this stuff going on with the street racing, and just stupid shit. And it's like, you know what? If you don't value your life, that's fine. But I value mine. And the thought of, me, if something happening to me because you're an idiot, that's just, I'm sitting here minding my own business. But you decide that you want to, catch air or whatever. That car was, when they showed pictures of the car, it was horrible. And the people who lived in the neighborhood were like, what happens the next time somebody does this and they fly into somebody's house? Then what? Because once you're airborne, you can't control the car.
No. The steering is over once it's in the air.
Right. Ugh. God. I'm not good with stupidity. I don't do well. But that's, how's the campaign going?
It was really wonderful yesterday to meet some folks who are definitely in my corner for the primary, and got to talk a little bit about what we need and what a howling embarrassment the current occupant of the seat is, and they were in complete agreement. And so after the program this evening,
the current occupant is, are they a Republican or a Democrat?
Oh, Republican. And an absolute nightmare.
Are they running for re-election?
Oh, sure. He's an incumbent. Yeah, he won't leave until he's either beat or they drag him out feet first. He's the biggest he's the biggest homophobe and transphobe in the state legislature.
Speaking of dragging out feet first, is Clarence Thomas still alive?
Who?
Clarence Thomas.
Oh, yeah. They say they're going to let him out. If they haven't already, they're going to probably let him out tomorrow or the next day. That was an exasperated sigh, Tracy.
Well, you know how I feel about the man, so.
If we can get Judge Brown Jackson confirmed,
And then if he was to have to, if Slappy was to have to make a dignified exit, of course he won't.
But because he won't.
But that would get us back to 5-4. Especially if it could happen before. God, it would be so sweet, wouldn't it? To put through a second Supreme Court nominee and listen to listen to the howling turtle talking about, well, we can't be doing this right before an election.
Before the midterms?
Yeah, eat a bag of dicks, Mitch.
A big old... Never mind, let me stop what I was about to say.
But then again, Joe Manchin's on, and, you know, he'd probably do that soft soap shit. Well, you know, we're too close to an election, so I can't support any nominee.
Oh. It's
smooth. I know. You know, hic mater copulator. But it would be sweet. God, it would be sweet. Oh, lost Tracy. Dang it. A girl can dream, right? I don't know if she's going to call back, but meanwhile, and this is more serious than More In Monday. This is... This is dangerous and scary. And sad. You know, this MAGA creep named Eric Greitens, formerly the governor of Missouri, had to quit because of scandal. But because I-O-K-I-Y-A-M, it's okay if you're a maggot, he decided he would run for the Republican nomination for Roy Blunt's Senate seat. And, I mean, he's a real Lulu, too. Hoof, gross. And so it turns out that, well, his marriage ended, and documents that have come out from the divorce, as reported by the Washington Post, his ex-wife, Sheena Greitens, said the following. In early June 2018, I became afraid for my safety and that of our children at our home, which was fairly isolated due to Eric's unstable and coercive behavior. This behavior included physical violence toward our children, such as cuffing our then 3-year-old son across the face at the dinner table in front of me and yanking him around by the hair. Now remember, this is a family values Republican. Dragging a 3-year-old around by his hair. In the name of Jesus! She said that one of the kids came home from visitation with daddy with, quote, a swollen face, bleeding gums, and a loose tooth. And they had to take the child to the dentist, and the tooth had to be pulled. Eric Greitens, a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republican, said, oh, we were just roughhousing. And the kid got hurt accidentally. And then while he was embroiled in scandal as governor of Missouri, Sheena Greiton said that time after time after time, he would threaten to kill himself if she didn't support him during the scandal. And unless he pulls out of the race, because MAGA, y'all,
he's still got a decent chance of becoming the Republican nominee, and by extension, very likely, the junior senator from Missouri stand. Imagine that. Young Ivy League scholar Josh Hawley will be the senior senator from Missouri stand. That is, to say the least, sobering. So, in a desperate effort for, I guess we'll just call it damage control, Eric Greitens, because this is how you do damage control when you're a maggot, you call up your buddy, the man who looks like three-day-old hot dog water smells. You know, racist Bannon, Steve, who broadcasts in front of a picture of Jesus, sitting next to that sits next to a sign that says, there are no conspiracies, but there are no coincidences. Cue ball? Is that you? And goes on, the Bannon gig to say that he's being taken out. No, well, not by the Illuminati, but by a malevolent turtle.
But that's not the most interesting of all the interesting things Josh Hawley said today. Actually, that's not the most interesting. He came out with a tweet a little while ago. If you hit with a big old picture of Eric Greitens at CPAC giving a speech, and I'm quoting from the tweet of Senator Hawley. If you hit a woman or a child, you belong in handcuffs, not the United States Senate. It's time for Eric Greitens to leave this race. So we've asked Commander Greitens, former governor of Missouri, to
Commander Greitens of Space Command. Jesus. And the idea that Josh Hawley would tweet something like that, when Josh Hawley actively encouraged MAGA insurgents to attack the seat of constitutional governance and the Constitution itself in a coordinated assault that resulted in the killing of people. But suddenly Josh Hawley feels like he's got the moral high ground. Oh, Margaret.
Join us here in the war room. What is going on? What's the story of this tweet, and why are there shots fired between Senator Hawley and yourself, Commander Greitens?
Well, Steve, the reason why shots are being fired at us is that I was the first guy in the country to come out and say that when I'm elected to the United States Senate as an America First senator, that I'm voting against Mitch McConnell. And what we found out today is that, and your audience has seen this,
What we found out today, Josh, is that you beat the shit out of your children. You drag them around by their hair. But no, when you live in the world where you drink a fine glass of pee-pee with your dinner to keep from getting the Rona and keep onions in your socks, well, it must be the terrible turtle. Yes. Yes, of course. That's it.
Fired between Senator Hawley and yourself, Commander Greitens.
Well, Steve, the reason why shots are being fired at us is that I was the first guy in the country to come out and say that when I'm elected to the United States Senate as an America First senator.
Remembering, of course, that America First is a white supremacist movement. I mean, not to put too fine a point on it. Anti-Semitic movement has roots in American Nazism.
That I'm voting against Mitch McConnell. And what we found out today is that, and your audience has seen this, you've seen the lies against President Trump, you saw the lies against Brett Kavanaugh. What we found out today is that rhinos are now working to make more false allegations. Just this past week, literally all the way up until yesterday morning, this past week, I was with my boys for an entire week. We had a beautiful time. My most important job is being a great father to my boys.
Yeah, who drags his kid around by the hair.
Boys, and we found out, we just learned that my ex-wife was in Washington, D.C., meeting with political operatives, and just this morning, they launched a series of false allegations against us. And the fact is, these are completely baseless.
Yeah, here's the thing about those completely baseless allegations. I can't be certain about the law of the state of Missouri, Stan, but in most jurisdictions that I'm aware of, when you file pleadings in a domestic relations case, the actual party has to sign under oath and under penalty of perjury or false swearing a statement that the allegations are true and correct to the best of the party's knowledge, unless stated to be upon information and belief, in which case the party believes them to be true. Well, this wasn't a believes them to be true kind of a situation. She personally witnessed, Sheena Greitens did, personally claims to have witnessed the conduct. And so she literally, or at least very likely, swore to it. And to knowingly and intentionally present a falsehood to a court of competent, a trial court of competent jurisdiction, can be a felony. But of course, none of the poor mouth walking, knuckle breathing maggots who tune in to racist Bannon's thing, the war room, you know, when you're making war on a 3-year-old. I know, but most of them have no idea of what I just discussed. Come on, Robin, Matt says. Spare the rod. God gave 3-year-olds hair so you can drag them around by it. Flip Floppians 28. I know. It's in the Bible. It's in the Constitution. It's in the Bible. These false allegations because my ex-wife was talking to political operatives. Maybe she was. Maybe she has relevant information that suggests maybe this guy should never be allowed anywhere near a lever of power for the rest of his natural born days.
Was in Washington, D.C., meeting with political operatives, and just this morning, they launched a series of false allegations against us. And the fact is, these are completely baseless. And just like, you know, just like the...
He keeps using that word. I don't think it means what he thinks it means. Baseless.
The fact that...
Are these political operatives, are you telling us now, because this story will come out tomorrow, are you telling us that these political operatives, people will be able to connect the dots back to Mitch McConnell, what Stephen Law, that whole nest of vipers?
You're going to be able to connect the dots directly to Mitch McConnell. You're going to be able to connect the dots directly to the rhino swamp, who always does this. This is their game. They work to push out false allegations. They know that the mainstream media will follow them, and they attack America First conservatives. Right. Look, as you.
But I just want to make sure that every hedge fund guy and every big donor, because you're all cowards, Okay, we're going to make all of you famous. You give money to Mitch McConnell to try to personally destroy guys like Mo Brooks, Eric Greitens, and all the others who are coming against you. We're coming after you. We're not coming after McConnell. We're going to come after you. We're going to expose you. We're going to expose where you get your money from. We're going to expose what you do with your money. So if you think you're getting free shots on gold, those days are over, and we're going to start with who's in back of. Specifically, the people that are financing this are going to be exposed, and they're going to be exposed in this show. And I can tell you one thing. Once you're exposed in this show, your life will change. So if you're giving money to Mitch McConnell to go after and personally attack MAGA candidates and play this politics of personal destruction, we're not going to tolerate that.
Ah, no, no, because racist Bannon doesn't tolerate things. You know, if there really were gods floating around up in the sky or whatever, and he said that, you know, we're not going to tolerate the politics of personal destruction. Lightning bolt. Hunter Biden, you know what I mean? So we've still got, we've got just a little over 20 minutes left in the program. It would be great if we could, bring in another $30 or so that we're not four digits in the hole for Titanic Tuesday. If, of course, that's a possibility. But it would be super helpful. Oh, by the way, we've had a Guy Reffitt sighting of a sort. You remember Guy Reffitt? He's the guy who carried a guy. The guy, really, Robin? He's the maggot who carried a firearm into the maggot insurrection against constitutional governance on January 6, 2021, and has been convicted thereof. Well, he's filing new motions after his trial. He wants a new trial. And specifically, in his motion for a new trial, he attacked his own son. Eric Greitens dragging a three-year-old around by his hair, and Guy Reffitt attacking his 19-year-old boy. He was hyping his story on CNN, Good Morning America, and on his GoFundMe page. And his GoFundMe page has made him over $158,000. Yeah. And that's grounds for a new trial? Yeah, I'm kind of flummoxed. Thanks, Ralphs, for getting us down to 7:15. Thank you. So another $20, and we won't be looking at $1,000 tomorrow, which would be huge. Yeah, Ralph's noting, oh my God, Stephen Bannon is going after more Mo Brooks, less brains. Well, the primary's not far off in Alabama. And Katie Britt, the anointed one of Richard Shelby, may get that nomination, at which point, well, we won't have Mo Brooks, less brains to kick around anymore in the House of Representatives. One down. Too many to go. Guy Reffitt said, Jackson Reffitt's story has changed from one, he did not believe his dad would ever hurt him, to two, he took the threat seriously, and then to three, he's pretty sure about what his dad said. And, of course, Guy Reffitt did not take the stand in his own defense. Oh, and I've got something else here. Since we started the program with where'd she go? Since we started the program with Marsha, Blackburn. She's been hissifying about, again, Judge Jackson. What a Lulu. Oh, where is it? Dadgummit, I hate it when these things disappear on me. Is it? No? Sorry for the dead air. This is where producers come in handy. Well, darn it. Oh, what happened to that? It was good. It was good stuff. It was Marsha, grunting and braying about how Tennesseans are confused by Ketanji Brown Jackson. And, of course, she left out the white in front of Tennessee. And, wait a minute. How's one of them women going to get on the Supreme Court? Yeah, I know. Thank you for the cowbell, Arnold. Pro level stupid equals cowbell girly. Thank you. Wow, that was a noisy cowbell. But Arnold says in regard to Eric Greitens, America loves the strict father model. Beat some sense into them. Beat some sense into them, I say. No, when I was talking to Tracy, I mentioned the fact that the incumbent in my district, this horrible, horrible person, Tom Fast, is in fact the biggest, awfulest, transphobe and homophobe probably in the entire state legislature, although admittedly he does have competition. But this is a clip going back to 2016 of him grunting and barking in the West Virginia legislature about how LGBT people choose to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans. Hockey puck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment. Just wanted to read a little bit. Sexual orientation does not include immutable characteristics. And in other words, it is a changeable characteristic. One need not debate whether homosexuality is genetic or social. The definition of sexual orientation includes the status of being or the perception of being heterosexual, homosexual, or bisexual. The definition, therefore, includes the entire spectrum of human sexuality. The lack of immutable characteristics creates a moving target, one that can change from day to day. The lack of immutable characteristics warns against elevating sexual orientation to a protected civil rights category.
Imagine describing an LGBT person, LGBTQQQIA plus person, in a state like West Virginia as a moving target.
imagine being so dumb and clueless that you think that people wake up one morning and say, I think I'm just going to be gay today. If they were straight the day before. Now, it is true. People do wake up and say, I think I'm going to be gay today. Because they were gay yesterday, the day before, and every day of their lives from the moment that they emerged into this world. Gay people are gay. Lesbians are lesbians. Bi people are bi. Trans people are trans people. But this hypocritical, Taliban Christian, Christianist, terrorist fool thinks it's, like a decision whether to put on white socks or colored socks or socks with stripes or dots.
According, sexual preference special status will also create social division. History and reason illustrates the insanity of according special civil right protection to a person's sexual preference. Once homosexual, bisexual, and transgender behavior is elevated to a protected status, there is nothing to stop bigamy, pedophilia, or any other sexual practice from...
Motherfucker! Now, granted, this is 6 years old, but they're still making the same argument. Yeah, if you let the gay people be gay and let the lesbians be lesbians, people are going to be marrying their dog. Remember, this is a guy who said in open court, I don't even know what cunnilingus is. And a woman responded, that poor woman, talking about Tom Fast's wife.
Receiving the same protection. It should be remembered that when elevating any activity to special status, opposing activities and viewpoints lose protection. If sexual orientation...
Imagine the logic that comes up with that. If you make laws that say that you can't discriminate against the LGBTQ plus community, then straight cishets are going to... Well, the straight point. The cishets are going to somehow lose a right. The only right that Tom Fast is worried about losing is the right to hate us. Like I said, I was at that gala Saturday evening, and people were so warm and so welcoming and so kind and so non-judgmental, so lovely and so decent. It was beautiful. It was blessed. But this guy would just as soon see everybody in that room dead. And he damn sure wants to make sure that we have no rights. And all of this was during a floor debate about an Uber ride-sharing amendment. These Republican legislatures, whether it's West Virginia, Alabama, Mississippi, they're just hives of punks and bullies and low-grade mediocrities. Of whom this guy, Tom Fast, is an absolute laboratory quality exemplar.
Laws become commonplace, then any person who speaks against sexual practice will be vilified. Their rights will be thwarted, and their freedom of religion of conscience will be crushed.
Horseshit. Sexual practice? Sexual practice? I think most people get it right. course, if we say sexual professionals, I guess we're talking about sex workers, but just say, wouldn't you love to get a look at Tom Fast's browser history? I wonder, and I know this is gross, I wonder how much gay or trans porn or lesbian porn he consumes.
Yesterday there was discussion of an agenda.
The gay agenda?
I think this matter is going to have to be taken head on here. And I think this is an agenda to open up the state of West Virginia to a whole new sphere of protected status that has not been crossed in the state of West Virginia. That line has not been crossed. I believe that is a dangerous thing to elevate as a protected status, a characteristic that is a chosen characteristic.
Yeah, because Tom, I damn sure chose to be trans. Just got so bored with being all macho and manly. Thought it might be fun to explore my femininity. You worthless punk. You phony baloney Christian. Peddler of hate oil. Even a snake wouldn't say the shit he says. And yet somehow, in a community where pride flags are all over the place during Pride Month, where there are window stickers on business doors that say all kinds welcome, done in rainbow colors, where there is actually a sizable gay community, lesbian community, LGBTQ plus community, you know, including one adorable Amazon Tran, somehow this guy winds up representing us. And see, when they redistricted my county, I know I'm kind of in the weeds, but when they redistricted my county, the Republicans were in charge of it, and they tried to protect every Republican seat and undo some democratically held seats. And so what they did with the district that I'm running in is they took that little liberal progressive enclave that is Fayetteville, cut it out from Oak Hill and Mount Hope, and made it part of a district where there's all kinds of hinterlands, where there's, you know, an evangelical fundamentalist, et cetera, church in every holler, with the hope of protecting the seat of this remarkably awful bigot. Well, he may keep it. And if I don't win the primary, he probably will. Because you have to speak the language and be able to talk Bible with these folks. You have to be able to go verse for verse. You have to be able to speak authoritatively of the things that are in that book. And odds are, I'm the only one who can do that. And I'm the underdog. little bit more, not much.
Be harmful, and this is so out of place. If this is something that this state wants to do, then it ought to be done in a bill specific for that purpose, not in a transportation bill. I very much support this bill as it is written. I would love to see Uber and like transportation companies in the state of West Virginia, but I certainly oppose this amendment for stated reason, and I urge
curiously enough, we have not heard from that that noted academic who would be, I think quite helpful in this situation.
What are you people, on dope?
You dick!
Yeah. So, here endeth, with a towering moron, this Moron Monday. Note coming in from our dear sister, Jude, in the Great Northwest. The Missouri Senate candidate Greitens, Missouri has in place a mandatory reporting of any suspected child abuse. May the dentist who extracted that unnecessary loose tooth from Greitens' son, if indeed there was a swollen face, he is mandated to report. May this dentist be a conduit for a major shift in the lives of an abused family. Let it be. And Jude notes that mandatory reporting is for all professionals who operate under a license from the state of Missouri. It happened some time back. So I don't know if the dentist did anything. But we do know that Mama took it to court. But we also know that, as is so often the case, the court is letting the abuser have regular contact with those he is alleged to have abused. It happens so often, and it is so sad. Well, back tomorrow for Titanic Tuesday. Thank you to everybody who's jumped in this evening. Maybe, hopefully within, like, after the show or something, maybe we'll get, or between now and 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time tomorrow, maybe we'll get down so that down below $700 so that we won't be facing a quadruple-digit fundraising hole. Be great. Thank you, everyone. Thanks to all our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you may so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Hey, how about maybe, say, tomorrow morning, or, you know, during the day if you're listening to the podcast, how about calling your elected member of the House of Representatives and asking them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act? That would be fantastic. This is the best chance we've ever had to get this bill passed, but we need momentum. And momentum comes from y'all. Please stay safe. Be part of the 29% of America that's had both shots and a booster. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Wear gloves where appropriate. Wear your KN95 or N95 mask. There's another wave coming, and it's not far from crashing on our shores. Be protected. And, of course, if some bleach blonde with a Georgia accent comes toward you grunting and hooting about, "You crow-Nazis!" Avoid that marginal trailer queen like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.